Welcome to this episode of the Network Marketing Heroes Podcast, hosted by 38-year network marketing veteran, author of best-selling books, The 4-Year Career, and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, Richard Bliss Brook.
Tonight's call is with Simon Chan, who has an extraordinarily successful podcast called MLM Nation. For those of you that have not tapped into that podcast, you'll want to do that. Simon is one of the first people that I'm interviewing, actually the first person in the category of not only network marketing hero, but network marketing hero maker. Those people out there in the network marketing community that are coaching and inspiring and training people to build successful businesses. Simon built an extraordinary business. Over 70,000 people in 18 countries in USANA. And he's going to tell us through this interview how he did that and also a little bit about what he's doing with MLM Nation. But first, if we could just create some context, Simon, by you giving people just a little bit about your background and where you live and your family and how you first got introduced to network marketing. And bring us up to the point where you started in USANA.
All right, Rich, I just want to, first of all, thank you for having me be here. It's an honor. You know, when I first, talk about secrets to success, when I first started, I had no skills, but I always visualized myself one day being a successful leader. And so being on calls was, you know, one of them, but I never thought I would be interviewed by the famous legendary Richard Brook. So this is very special to me. So thank you for having me here. So that said, you know, if you looked at me when I was growing up, you never thought I'd be doing business. My parents were basically rags to riches. They came from Hong Kong. My dad came here for his residency. He was a doctor. And my mom and dad, who I respect really a lot, when they came to the U.S., they moved to Brooklyn, New York. They lived in a tiny 400-square-foot apartment in 1969. And my parents were the typical, you know, the rich dad, poor dad. Was like the poor dad. Study hard, get good grades, and then get a good job, you know. And so throughout my whole life, I kind of fell into the Asian stereotype. You know, if you look at the Asian stereotype, if you don't know, it's like Asians are good in math and science. So you're going to be an engineer or doctor. And if you happen to be good in English, then you become a lawyer. You know, so you work hard, get good grades, go to grad school and do one of those. So I was always brought up that way. I never really liked studying, but I actually ended up doing pretty well in school. Not because I was a good student, because my parents just forced me, you know, while other kids were playing basketball, other sports, I was forced to go to secondary, you know, makeup school, just always school. Like, you know, people have sports camps. I just go to the school camps because my parents' whole goal was for me to get the best education and get the best job. So I was forced into thinking that I was going to be, you know, I went to science and math school, and I was miserable. You know, the whole point was my parents got me to thinking that I was going to take over my dad's practice. And my dad actually had a good practice where, you know, he was like rags to riches. At one point, we lived in New York with a big house with three Mercedes. But my childhood wasn't happy. Because all I wanted to do, you know, growing up, and I'm like an American, ABC, American-born Chinese, I'm a big sports fan. I wanted to go to the Yankee games to watch my heroes like Greg Nettles, Don Mattingly. I wanted to go to Madison Square Garden to watch the Knicks, to watch the NBA. But my father was always too busy. He's at the hospital, the clinic, the nursing home, the weekend, and I had the private practice. So I said to myself, I didn't want to be like that. But somehow I was doing the science and going to be a doctor because I didn't know what else to do. I was going to, you know, follow his footsteps. And then, long story short, one day in college, I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. So it's like I told my mom, and my mom actually saw the changes in healthcare. She's just like, you know, it's not really worth it to be a doctor. You don't make that much money now, but if you really like it, go do it. I said, well, Mom, I definitely don't like it. I hated it. I can't stand it. So then my mom said, do something else. So I remember that conversation. It was like, I remember exactly where I was, and I just dropped it. So then I was like, what else am I going to do? Right? Oh, maybe if I don't be a doctor. I don't definitely want to be an engineer. I'll be a lawyer. So I was going to be a lawyer, you know, take a year off and be a paralegal and go to law school. And then out of nowhere, I got the, you know, a dream job working for the NBA, for the National Basketball Association. It was like an entry job, making only $20,000 a year. But I didn't care. I would work there for free because I was a huge basketball fan. I played college basketball as well. And I was just huge, just like a dream job. So I went there, you know, still thinking I was going to be a lawyer. But after like 2 weeks there, I was like, forget this. I love this. I'm going to do this. And I love my job so much that for 6 years, of course, I had to live at home, right, because I didn't make much money. So my parents lived in Long Island back then. I wake up at 5:30 in the morning and drive for, you know, actually, I'm a workout fanatic. So I would run 2 or 3 miles. And then by 6 a.m., get into the shower and what I call like a guy, you know, men shower. You know, guys, we can take a shower in 2 or 3 minutes, right? Ladies don't do that, but we can take a quick shower. And I'll make sure I'll be back on the LIE, the Long Island Expressway, by 6:15 to beat traffic. And I'll get to work at 7. I'll eat breakfast there. I'll work to 6, 7 p.m. And sometimes I'll get so tired, I'll actually go across the street. There's a Holiday Inn there. And in the lobby, I'll just grab a USA Today, pretend I'm waiting for a friend, a guest, and I'll fall asleep there for 20 minutes. And then I'll go back and work more. But I love my job. I slept at work for 13 nights. I loved it so much because the commute was so long. It was like 40-something miles. It wasn't worth it for me to go back home late at night and come back at, you know, 6 a.m. the next day. So I did that for so long. And until one day, you know, it was just like, you know, if you work hard enough, get into the right opportunities come up. One of my best friends, just a Chinese player, first Chinese player ever to make it to the NBA. We got connected because I was the only one who spoke Chinese. So I started translating for him. We became great friends. He asked me to leave the NBA to work for him. So that's the reason I moved out from New York to LA. I was actually a certified NBA sports agent for a year. I represented my friend for a couple of months until we signed on with a bigger sports agency. And then I thought, wow, this is awesome. And then it was actually miserable because the more I got into that business, I really hated it. You know, it was like the agent business, and I'm sorry if anyone's in there, I offend anyone, but it's very shady and slimy, the way they use kids and use players. And I didn't want that. So at the same time, I read this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, it was actually an ex-girlfriend recommended to me. And this whole time I was doing all this NBA stuff, she was building, you know, she had investments and things going on, and she never understood why I made no money. So, and I didn't understand why she didn't, you know, care about basketball, right? Until I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I was like, wow, I'm on the wrong path. For the longest time, I thought you work hard at the job, because this is the way I was conditioned, for 30, 40 years, you get to the corner office, you know, you save in your 401k, and then you have a decent retirement. And that book really opened up my eyes. And, of course, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, at the back is recommended books. I read Cash Flow Quadrant. I read Multiple Streams of Income by Robert Allen. I got the Cash Flow 101 board game. And then I realized I needed a business. And I didn't know what type of business out there. I had no business experience. All I knew was sports. So I looked at franchise. I like the Subway franchise because, you know, Americans wanted to be healthy. And franchise, you have especially Subway, you have a sandwich, and you don't even need to come up with it. You just follow the recipe, you make it, and then it's a system, right? You have the product and the system, something I could do. If you tell me to come up with a new idea, I wouldn't know what to do. So I was going to do a Subway franchise, but I realized in L.A. back then, it was, you know, the franchise fee was like 20-something thousand, but if you add up all the expenses, it's about $250,000. I was like, I don't have that money. What else can I do? So I kind of got sad. So what else could I do? And then that's when I found out about network marketing. And I was really, really skeptical about network marketing. I didn't know anything about network marketing. Okay? The first time I actually heard about network marketing, I thought it was marketing computer networks. I never knew, because this is during the internet in early 2000s. But I found out, hey, Robert Kiyosaki talked about it, Robert Allen talked about it, all these famous best-selling authors talk about it, so I should research more. So I researched it. I read Network Marketing for Dummies, Your First Year in Network Marketing, read a lot of these books, and I was like, wow, this is, you know, a great business. But I was still skeptical a little bit because I didn't have any sales skills. I didn't have any business skills. I was afraid to speak up in public. I thought you have to do all these presentations. And then until I read, at the same time, this is the summer of 2003, I read, God is very important to me. I'm a born-again Christian. I read Purpose Driven Life, and I did the 40 days of exercises. And I found out at that time that God's purpose for me was to have a positive impact on as many lives as possible. And it was for me to coach and mentor people. And at first, it didn't make sense to me. But then as I thought back to my past, even though I was kind of shy, quiet, introverted, I always enjoy coaching, helping. I mean, coaching specifically basketball. In my church, I used to be active with the youth. I used to coach at Chinatown, at YMCA, take kids off the street and do like after-school programs. I enjoy mentoring. And then I looked at, hey, network marketing. You know, the more I looked at it, it's like, this is not sales. This is actually mentoring, right? Because if I sign someone up to sell some product, that's a one-time sale. But if I want the residual income that all these people say network marketing is so good at, it's really coaching and mentoring. So I just felt it was God's purpose for me to do network marketing. And so I got started in November 2003. And by the way, no one recruited me. Okay, I researched. I was just looking. I was very skeptical. I just want to be able to, you know, something I believe in, a product. And I'm a health fanatic. I work out 6 days a week. I've been, you know, doing that for like 15 years, something like that. I don't take a day off, you know. Actually, that's actually one of my problems. I need to force myself to take a day off to let my body rest. But I'm a workout fanatic. USANA's a health company, and it seemed to be doing well. So no one recruited me. I just went online, put in USANA Los Angeles, and a random person came up, and I emailed him and called him. And so that's how I got started in November 2003.
Tell us who randomly hit the lottery and was referred to you as your sponsor.
You know, the funny thing story, right, is here's the story. It's a big lesson for everyone on here, right? This guy, like, USANA is a binary plan, so you have a strong leg, weak leg, and you don't get paid until, like, you hit a certain level, right? And this guy had a strong leg, about 80 people in Japan, right, that he was growing. It just kind of took off. And then he put me on a weak leg where he had maybe, like, 10 people. And, of course, he wasn't earning much because it wasn't balanced. But this guy, you probably, like you said, Rich, he won the lottery, but... And I didn't, when I first signed up, right, I didn't have much success. I made $0 my first 2 months because I had all the wrong habits. I didn't have the success habits. So this guy, he quit. He quit. And right after he quit, I started taking off. You know, if he had stayed in the business today, he would be making, I mean, he wouldn't be a millionaire, but he would be making like $80,000 a year doing nothing because his Japan leg eventually grew out to 200 active distributors and I have over 70,000. So that's the story I always share. You never know what's going to happen. And when he quit, I actually got kind of angry because I was like, wow, this guy must be an idiot. Because if he knew how good I was, he'd basically think I'm – because he's perfectly set up. He probably thinks I'm not going to be any good. That's why he quit. If he knew I was going to be good, why would he quit? So actually that was kind of like some internal motivation to keep me going.
Beautiful. So one of the things I asked you in the questionnaire, Simon, is – and you alluded to it – is, I asked you how many people you sponsored the first 90 days, and I think you said, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or something like that, which I looked at that number and I thought, wow, that's not very characteristic of what I thought Simon would do. So tell us about your first 90 days, like what you did and what you didn't do to get started. And then, you know, the second thing I asked you is how many people did you sponsor the first year, and you said 20, which is still not very inspiring, but then in year two, you sponsored 80, which is, you know, that's like 7 people a month. So tell us about those first couple of years. Tell us about the first 90 days. What was missing? What did you figure out after the first 90 days? And what did you really figure out the second year?
You know, I can tell you a lot of things I did not do my first 90 days. So my first two in I sponsored like 4 people my first 90 days, and those 4 people really came in the last 2 weeks of those 90 days. Because the first 10 weeks, the first 8 weeks, I didn't have the right attitude. Okay, I joined in the business, you know, and I think that's the biggest challenge. Is like you're in the business for yourself. We all want to be our own boss, right? But we don't want to be our own employee, right? If you actually thought about the actions you do, most of us would probably be. I mean, I knew for me, I'll probably fire myself. Because I was terrible. You know, what I did do was I would, you know, do the business on a little bit here and then take a 2-3 days off and a third, you know. So that's one thing, lack of consistency. I still remember the first big moment was like on Christmas. I was visiting my parents and I was driving the highway, driving to the driveway. And the only thing that saved me, Rich, was I was listening to trainings like this. And the speaker on there, who later on turned out to be my mentor. He's like, he's earning 6 figures. And he's like, well, if you're doing this business on a, he's talking about how great the business is. And I was like, okay. I heard that before. And then he said this one thing. If you're doing this business on a Monday, cause you're excited, you do. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, you take some time off. And then Thursday, you do a little bit. And then Friday, you know, it's the weekend. Saturday is the weekend. You take time off. And then Sunday, you feel guilty cause you don't want to go to a job. You do it again. See, that doesn't work. You're guaranteed to fail. And I was like, it was the cold December day in New York City towards the end of December. I pull up the driveway. I rewound that 1 minute of that CD over and over and over again. I was like, gosh, I thought he was talking directly at me, you know, because that is what I was doing. You know, and that's why my original upline, that lucky guy who won the lot, that's what he told me. He told me Fridays, weekends are not good for prospecting. This guy was telling me every single day, you know, and even if you're at the job, Simon, you work at the basketball stuff, you go to AT&T all their time. Your brain is thinking about the business all their time, right? So that was what one of the turning points. And once I started doing that, I actually got so angry because I'm very, like, goal-driven. Like, I made a New Year's resolution to start on January 1st. I couldn't even wait till January 1st. I started on December 28th. Like, hey, I'm going to go out there and start contacting people. Because the second mistake I made was what I call, like, going for after the big whale, right? And the big whale is, like, that one person that you hope to get in that could bring all this tremendous volume to your business, right? I think we all have that. It could be if you're doing supplements, it could be the doctor. It could be the, you know, for me, it was like, because I, you know, you saw on the supplements, it was the basketball team. I had all these NBA connections. Imagine you got like a professional team taking the products. Every player, there's 15 players per team. And I knew the coach, I knew the trainer for the LA Clippers because that was the team my friend played on. We hung out together. You know, I've been to over 200 NBA games courtside. So I knew these players. I was like, if I could get just one NBA team, 15 players, couple hundred dollars worth per player, you know, it'll be ka-ching. I don't need to sign anyone up, right? Boom, it'll be right there. So I wasted so much time trying to get the professional trainers on that. Total waste of time. And one of the best advice I can share with you is that this business is finding hungry people like yourself on this call who's willing to do the work to build a business. Not getting that one doctor, that trainer, that professional team or whatever, the school in, you know. Because, you know, let me ask you, if you approach a school, the principal, you shared that thing with them, right? Do you think, when's the next time you can follow up that person? The next day? No, probably because these people are so busy, right? So like the trainer, the NBA team, I got one meeting. I never even got another follow-up meeting because they're so busy. They're traveling just during season. So that's one of the reasons, the two reasons I didn't make any money, Rich, was I was going after the big whale. Like that's just one, and it's really just laziness. I don't need to talk to many people. Just talk to one person. I get boom. I make the money, right? That type of poverty mindset I had. Second thing was the lack of consistency. So, and once I heard that training, I made this New Year's goal. Every day I'm going to talk to five people, and that's my formula: 5-5-3. You approach five, and doesn't mean they sign up or not. You just approach five, ask them to see if they're interested to learn more. And the second five is the five follow-ups a day. So these are people you presented to, share the plan, share the product before. You make five quick follow-up phone calls. And the third thing is three is you're actually presenting. So you're getting three people a day to either hear a presentation, watch it on whether you're presenting webinars or send a video presentation, 5-5-3 every day. And I started doing that on two people later, okay, because I was really, really bad at no skills. 42 people later, I got my first sign-up. And actually 42 was okay to me because I read Robert Allen. He said, if you talk to 100 people, you get at least one. So I said, oh, I'm actually pretty good, 42 people. But as I sponsored more and more, as I did the consistency, it's just like learning to swim, learn to ride a bike. You know, it took me, you can say 90 days to get four. Actually, really, the first 10 weeks didn't count, like 2 weeks to get four, 42 people to get four. And then like, I got better, just like swimming, riding a bike, anything you put your heart and commitment, we get better. Right? Even at your job, you're listening to this at your job. When you first started, you weren't good at it. You can't quit after the first week on a job. But if you keep doing it day in, day out, 8 hours a day at your job, you get good at it. So, Rich, that's what I did. That's all I did, prospected for 2 weeks. And I followed that formula. Five, approach five, follow up with five, present three a day. And by the second year, I kind of got it down. I knew how it worked. And that's how I got the signups.
Wow. Well, that's an intense schedule. I got to imagine people on the Paul Simon are asking themselves, where did you find five people a day to invite to take a look at your opportunity? Can you give us four or five sources, activities, you know, just what did you do? How did you move in the world? Where did you look in the corners and the niches to find five people a day to approach?
Okay, I think one of the, big mistakes that new distributors make is they think that they got to sign up everyone, right? Your goal is not to sign up anyone. If you really want to just talk to five, it's actually really simple. If you think that are five people that will be interested, then yeah, that's going to be hard, right? That may be hard. But so where I get the five, people I met at the gym, people on my church, my own contact list, right, of like 200 people, I purchased some leads to, I did flyers, I generated advertising, and I would go to events. You know, this is when I would just go to parties and stuff, meeting people. But I didn't, if you start thinking like, oh, how I'm going to You know, how am I going to sign up five? That's difficult. But if you say, I'm going to meet five people, every one of us here today can meet five people. You can walk outside your house and walk down the street, knock on some doors. You can meet some people, right? So I just, it was like my mentor said, AT&T, all the time. Every second, think about adding people to your database. So if you have that mindset, there's tons of people out there, right? And the goal is really just to expose your opportunity, not to convince them, just expose. And your goal is to expose, just letting them know it's very easy to become a five. And I'll give you an example. Tonight's date night with my wife, we're going to go out. We easily can just get five people, right? We're going to go in there, we're going to go to a restaurant. You have the waiter, the hostess, that's two people already, right? And that's just probably an hour and a half date night. You know, this today I went to the gym. That's another. I could get another couple of people there. So if you just shift your mindset, the acres of diamonds, they're out there. They're really in our own backyard. But we just have to, you know, forget about the bad prospects that give us a hard time. Forget them. Sort quickly. Filter them out. And shift our time and attention to the diamonds around us in our own backyard.
What are some of the things you say to connect with people to start those conversations, Simon, that may end up in somebody interested? Like, how do you just sort of make that connection and build that rapport and get a conversation started?
Well, you know, there's different types of inviting, but I personally, especially with a co-market, I don't like to invite directly to the business. Like, sometimes people say the 3 feet rule, 5 feet rule. I like to build a relationship first, right? So one of the key things to co-market is finding points in common. Commonalities. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Common things in common, right? So a good example is, you know, on your neighborhood, right? You're probably, there's people out there, even on your block, that you don't know really well, right? Every one of us here, there's people on my block I don't know really well, right? But imagine when you are traveling, just say you traveled, you know, whether it's outside the U.S. or it's a different city, if you met someone that lived in the same town, then what happens? All of a sudden, that person becomes like the coolest person. Like, chances are probably your closest friend, closest stranger, right? Like, I go to Australia, I meet someone in L.A. Wow, all of a sudden we connect. Because we naturally humans have a tendency to like people who have in common. It's the same thing with sports. If you're out there in a different city, and then you found, like, for example, I'm in L.A., and I find someone that likes the Yankees from New York, instantly, I don't even know what care about the background. We have something to talk about. We're friends. So one of the things I do is finding things in common. Like if they go to the gym a lot, I ask, hey, you know, how often do you come here? If they're doing a certain type of exercise, I'm even asking for advice. Because people love to give advice, right? People love to talk. So, hey, what's your workout routine? What do you kind of do? So just to get them talking, find things and points in common. If you're doing co-market, like even leads, I know some people purchase leads or like phone book, right? By the way, you have no one to call. You can call the phone book. I know White Pages maybe do not call, but you can call the Yellow Pages. You can call owners of business who do ads, right? A lot of times these people are struggling. They're looking for people. If they're doing advertising in the newspaper, they probably need more business. They're looking for things. They're open-minded. Otherwise, they wouldn't be running that ad, right? So contact them. And one of the things I do, if I was, and this is when I was in, you know, building outside of L.A., say there's a small town, like where you live, right? Rich in Idaho. I don't know much about the town. I'll just go to Google and search. I go to Wikipedia, put the town, I look at some common points. So what's this town known for? What are they known for? So when I call that co-market, I could instantly, hey, you're near Idaho. How far? And you're pretty close to Boise. Tell me a little about it. So to get the other person talking. And once that person feels I have something in common with them, then a bond and a trust is automatically created amidst the inviting and presenting much easier later on.
Beautiful. So one of the other questions, Simon, was that all of that, I think there's like, I don't know, a couple of hundred people you ended up personally sponsoring, which ended up in 70,000 people on your team and six leadership legs. So the leadership legs are something that we like to talk about on these calls, like, because that's where the residual income comes from in your business. They're the people that drive it deep and provide the security. Tell us two or three stories about people that you personally enrolled, how you met them, what they did for a living, that turned into be mega USANA success stories for you.
I want to share like two that come off the top of my mind, okay? And there's a lesson here, not to discourage anyone. You know, at the end of my first year, like I sponsored about 20, I had about like 33 distributors, okay? immediately after that first year, one became like two were customers. One earned a baby like 100, 200 a week, and the rest of them, except for one person, they all quit. Okay, but there's one guy. He's a diamond director. He actually contributes a big part of my six-figure passive income. So even though right now I'm focusing on ML Nation doing things, the passive income allows me to do other options and spend time with my boys and spend the time to create ML Nation, and do coaching and training. So this one guy, the lesson is, you know, leaders are rare. You have to understand they're really like 3%. Like one out of 33 will be that leader. But once you find them, that one person does more than 10,000 distributors combined. That's the power of the leverage. And so this guy, you know, I never expect him to be successful. And here's another writer down or write this tip down. You never know who's going to be good. There are people that I brought in that are Ivy League educated, MBAs, should be, you know, boom, take off, right? And they end up nothing, right? They end up quitting after like, you know, 3 months, 6 months, something like that. And then this guy, we were just acquaintances at the NBA, right? And there's a long story how we met. He just loves to party. This guy's a party animal. He'll go out six nights a week, you know, happy hour. He's there. He would get drunk. I mean, you know, he's a very changed man. He's a very godly man now. But back then, 13 years ago, he was a totally different person. He would hang out to 5, 6 in the morning, right? Every night. Every time I hung out with him in New York, we never got home before 6 a.m. And it's not like we even – so this guy was a party animal. But so I never expected him to be interested. But turned out that when I approached him, he actually was he actually needed more money to party. Okay, that's the thing. He was actually looking for a second and third job because the NBA wasn't, like I said, the NBA is like a dream job for most people, so they don't need to pay much, right? So he wasn't paying him enough, and he had expenses. He had to get a car and all that. So he was looking for a second, third job, and he was open. So, but if you looked at my contact list, he was probably the last person you expected to. And even when he signed up, I thought that he would be signed up all his party friends because he was very popular. He loves to have fun, but he'd be terrible with co-market. And the funny thing is, he was totally opposite. You know, none of his party friends, his close friends, thought he took him seriously because he was just like a party animal. So he didn't sign up any of his party animal friends, but he was really good with co-market. And so that was a big lesson for me. Like you never know who's going to be good. He was the last person I thought it was going to be. I just like, hey, I'm going to give him an opportunity. I'm going to sign up and see what happens. And he turned out to be a super, super, super stud. And the amazing story is, like, people say that there's actually two good happy endings. All his friends that were negative, close friends, now they're all part of the business. They're either customers or eventually join the business because they were like, oh, my goodness, a party animal, like, you know, like a guy like you could make it in the business. Hey, I'm in. So they end up after a couple years later, after like three, five years, they all joined in. So the second thing is, you know, people say like, you lose your friends in network marketing, and that's totally only true if you don't know the practice of skills. If you do it the right way, you don't lose friends. You gain friends. Like, big part of my business is out in Asia, in Southeast Asia. In the Philippines alone, I think I've lost track, like, probably 50,000 people just in the Philippines, right? Like, I've been to countries, friendships I've never had before. So, and John, I said his name, but party animal friend, we were acquaintances. But because of the business, we became great friends. He's one of my best friends. And we're going to have him on the show in ML Nation, like in July. He's become one of my best friends. We, believe it or not, in terms of like destiny, I used to live in LA. He used to live in Hoboken, New Jersey. Then he moved around. He actually lived in the Philippines, went to Ohio, everywhere. And now we live like 3 miles from each other, and we do play dates. His daughter, my kid's son, we play all the time. So it's really amazing story what this business can do. So that's John, how I met him, and a lot of lessons there. And the second one is just like a lot of the top leaders I met in the Philippines. One guy I met through Facebook, right? And I was out on Facebook, and I just reached out to them. They're hungry for opportunity. But I didn't meet this guy until I was 5 years into the business. And most of my key leaders, I mean, outside of John, my party animal friend, the rest of my leaders, I all met in year 5 later on. And the lesson is, as you grow, you attract better and better and better people into the business. Like this guy, you know, for example, Ed Miguel or Nat Sunio, right? Or Billy De La Fuente or, Edward Caldi. They're like rock stars in the Philippines. I would never have signed them up in my first 2 years. But the only way I signed them up is constant self-development. You know, constant self-development. I remember like the first time I met one of the leaders, right? Another guy, Mel Claren. He's like, he saw me with my on my iPhone. I was working out and I'm a headphones. He goes, what are you listening to? Like, he's testing me already because he was an experienced networker. He's looking for opportunity. So if you want to attract better people, work on yourself. And so that leader group, Ed Miguel, met through Facebook, and he was hungry for opportunity, and he was out in the Philippines. His wife, believe it or not, was very sad, like a newborn baby, but they couldn't afford to raise them in the Philippines. So his wife had to work overseas. Shane had to work in Glendale, California, as basically like a maid just to save money. So the baby was raised by the grandparents. He didn't even get to see this baby, and the wife would work so hard. And I love Filipinos because they work so hard. So his wife would work and send money back home. So, you know, Ed was interested. We connected on Skype, but I couldn't present to him, right, because he was out in Manila. So, but his wife lived in the Glendale in L.A., close to my house. So we set up a meeting, and this meeting was like, you know, one of the things, you know, do one extra meeting, one extra phone call, one more meeting. That's what I call one more meeting, because you never know that one meeting, where it's one extra phone call. If it's on your mind, go make that call before you sleep. If you have the one extra meeting, do that meeting before you go to bed. Just do it. Do that webinar, because that night I was like, you know, meeting the wife, and she didn't want to meet me. And I was with my, and I was about to go to the Philippines in a couple of days. And Ed wanted me to meet his wife in L.A. in Glendale before he met me in Manila, right, to test me out. And I talked to the wife, and I could tell she was with the babies, and she worked the whole week as a maid. She wanted to spend time with her family. She didn't want to meet me. I definitely didn't want. I was with my wife shopping in Camarillo. And then, but, you know, Ed said, you got to meet my wife. So finally, it was supposed to be like 6 p.m., 8 p.m., 10 p.m. And finally, the wife called, said, let's come meet me at, you know, 11:30 at night. I was like, 11:30 at night at Glendale. I didn't want to do it. You know, my wife didn't want to go. But I always remember one more meeting. So on the way back from Camarillo, we stopped by Glendale, and we had a meeting. I presented to his wife, and we had next to us a Skype laptop, and Ed was in Manila watching me present to his wife, and we presented. And then, you know, they saw it. They got interested. I set up a meeting. Once I got to Manila, I met up with Ed. And that's how I signed them up. And today, Ed was like kind of the father of our team. Ed brought in all these other leaders like Mel Clarion, Ricaldi, Billy De La Fuente, Natsunio. And next year, we have over 50,000 people in the Philippines now. But that all came from that one more meeting at 11:30 Saturday night.
Wow. Those are two phenom stories, Simon. Really, really great lessons in there. Okay, next question. You might have already covered it, but if you have, you can make something else up, or you can repeat it. What's the biggest mistake that you ever made? Maybe you made it one time, like you said something you shouldn't have said, or it's a habit that you were in over and over again that has cost you the most in your career, the biggest mistake.
Well, so I've made lots of mistakes. The one biggest mistake is you work with people that deserve your time. Okay, and I used to work with everyone on my downlines because I wanted to help them. You can't help people if they don't want to help themselves. And this business is finding hungry people like Ed, you know, getting into his wife, doing a meeting, who wants to meet me at 11:30 p.m. Saturday, even though she's supposed to spend time with her baby, but wants to be hungry for opportunity, right? And Ed is like watching on Skype in Manila. Or like John, who's hungry because instead of getting he had to get a second, third job to pay for his lifestyle. It's finding hungry people that are willing to do what it takes and not to beg people. So like later on, I kind of figured this out. Like, you're looking for people who want to do it. You're like, I said to myself, I'm looking for the next Simon. But when at the beginning, I wasn't like that. I wanted to make everyone like a leader. And that's just a waste of time. You know, and the good people would do whatever it takes to be successful. The ones who are not, and sadly, you know, MLM gives the opportunity for everyone to be successful, but not everyone wants to do the work. You know, there's a saying that everyone wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to die, right? They don't want to do the work. So I waste this tremendous amount of time. And I'll give you one example, that I learned later on. It's like going to convention. Your company convention is very, very, very important. Because I've never met anyone, and Rich, you never met anyone who makes even $30,000 a year, okay, which is not that much money. Okay, $30,000 a year, who's never been to the company convention, right? It's you just can't find people. Everyone who makes over $30,000 or more has been to convention, goes to conventions every year. So, if a distributor, I tell them, you go to convention, and they give me excuses. Later on, basically what I did was, Rich, I just don't work with them. I don't even want to sponsor them. So I had a rule. If you don't go to convention, I don't want to sponsor, sign you up. Why? Because you're wasting my time. You're going to fail. So if you're failing, I don't want to make the $100, $200 to sign up bonus to get you in. I don't really care about that. You're wasting my time because the time is spent on finding the next John, to find the next Ed Miguel, these type of superstar leaders. And every second, every minute of your life, you're wasting on people who are not going to make you any money, make themselves money. You never get that time back. And my biggest mistake was just, you know, spending time trying to help people. I should have just, like, never signed them up or just tell them to quit right away.
So pushing ropes. You were pushing ropes.
Exactly.
All right. So flip it. What is the smartest single thing you ever did or one time or repetitively that has led to your success?
I think it's investing. That's definitely, it's easy. It's investing in self-development. I just love learning. Even nowadays, I invest over $50,000 a year in courses, seminars, mastermind groups I join in because it's all about learning. And, you know, even when I first started, you know, I shared about my first 8 weeks, I didn't make any money. The only thing that saved me was I was listening to training calls, right? So even when I first started, I stopped listening to music. I don't watch the TV. Even today, I don't have TV in my house. We don't have any programming. I don't watch that. I just listen constantly, read seminars, courses, audiobooks, you name it. I started doing that. And I think that's what I love about network marketing before, you know, so much. You know, I love it so much because it's one of my three beliefs. I believe network marketing allows us to fulfill our potential. Right? And, you know, we're born, every one of us here are born of unlimited potential. But because of circumstances or programming or people telling us or the way you're brought up, it's kind of get hidden, kind of like me. Like, I never... You know, you can ask my college friends. They never thought I could be doing podcasts or even sharing on this call because I just would stiffen up. I would freeze. But all of us can be great. And network marketing allows us to be great, gives us the opportunity to be great. And the second belief is, like, I believe network marketing allows us to give more, right? We can give more. And then third is, like, network marketing allows us to be, the most important job is to be better parents because it creates the legacy. And just not to be off tangent, just want to share one thing. Like, I was talking to someone the other day. If I had my kids earlier, I cringe at that thought because I wouldn't be such a good parent. Like, my kid the other day, he was kind of being negative. Like, he's a four-year-old. Oh, I can't tie my shoes. I can't do this. I was like, no more negative talk, Ethan. Okay, I just want to hear, I can't. Two words. Three words, actually. 我可以, which is I can in Chinese. 我可以, I can, and Ethan can. That's the only thing I want to hear, right? So I'm teaching him positive stuff. Now, before I did network marketing, I would never even known that. Now, before network marketing, I was watching SportsCenter all the time. We probably have the TV on all the time. And so that's probably the number one habit that continues to pay itself over and over again. It's nonstop self-development.
Yeah. Well, we've heard that a lot in the answer to that question on the Heroes Calls. Beautiful stuff, Simon. What a great success story you are. I love the numbers. I love the persistence. I love the personal development. And massive success. I love the one more meeting, 11:30 at night. You never know who's going to be the one that's going to make the difference. So tell us now, for the last little while, you've shifted gears, and you're focusing on serving the entire network marketing community. Tell us about MLM Nation, the podcast.
Well, I kind of got into coaching like about 3 years ago. I've been doing this 3 years and basically full-time 2 years. Like I shared, I love network marketing because it allows me to fulfill my purpose, having a positive impact as many lives as possible. I believe that's my destiny. That's what God has given me. And, like, you know, when I'm with my company, it's like a limited audience, right? I feel like I'm blessed with certain skills, speaking skills, my wisdom I got from self-development. I can share to a bigger audience if I go outside to be generic. And in many ways, coaching and training is way, by the way, if you think, is way, way, way harder than building a network marketing business. It's a lot of you know, it's just learning about I have to do with staffing issues, all these type of things. But it's not as residual like network marketing. But for me, it's like a challenge and allows me to fulfill my purpose. And so I've been doing training. I actually kind of got into it by luck. People, you know, they find you on Facebook. This is back in 2012, late 2011. People just, you know, I won the President's Award in 2012. That was the number one fastest growing distributor in North America by USANA. And so people asked me for help, and I'll help them. But it got to the point that I was taking away from my family time. I didn't know how to say no. So the only way, I have a business partner, he's just suggested, why don't you just charge people money? So I started charging people like a monthly, an hourly, like $250 an hour to talk to me. And I didn't expect anyone to pay. I just expected just to get rid of people, right? So they wouldn't contact. I would say, hey, you have to pay $250 an hour for me to answer your emails. But some people actually paid. And so when I was like, at first I was like, that was really cool. And then what, the more I did them, it's like, I hated doing them because mostly like sob stories, 1 hour calls. And like, you can't really make an impact on someone in 1 hour. But what success is about consistency. It's what I talked about before. So I was like, instead of taking like $250 an hour, why didn't I do like a weekly coaching call and people can come in and it'll be only $40, $47 a month. So that's how my coaching started. I never thought I'd like it, but the more I did it, I actually really enjoyed it. And allows me to be home. I used to travel a lot. Now I don't travel much. I want to go to 2 trips to Australia. The rest, I'm always in the U.S. All my coaching's done online. And then, you know, I've been doing that for 3 years. And how the podcast started happening was, you know, I'm a huge fan like of self-development. And about a year ago, I got into podcasts. Right? I listen to health tips. I listen to business marketing podcasts. You know, online media podcasts. I do a lot of, especially health and workout techniques. I listen to that stuff. And I was like, hey, you know, there's nothing like this for network marketing. And like another thing I wish I had when I first started was, you know, when you grow and, you know, our company had awesome leaders, right? Awesome training, but got to the point where I felt that I had plateaued. Like I wanted to learn from people outside, right? Because you basically know, once you get a certain level, you know everything that's going on in the company. I was like, how are the other leaders from other companies doing it? I got curious. But then you go to YouTube and look, and there's so much stuff on YouTube out there, right? Like, that's the thing now. Everyone can produce content. But who's the real deal and who's, like, a fake, right? You really can't tell. So I came up with an idea. Why don't I just, like, pick the brains, right? Imagine if I had lunch with, like, Richard Brook. If I had, you know, had lunch with Kimmy Brook, sit down. And that would be so awesome, right? So MLM Nation is... it's a free podcast. Anyone with a computer, laptop, tablet, a smartphone can download it. We do it 3 times a week and interviews of picking the brains on these leaders. So this is the training I wish I had. You know, the training I had when I first started was just USANA stuff, which was awesome. But I wish I knew from other people from other companies, right? But that was never available to me. So we started that March 30th. And I think one other thing. That, and by the way, if I'm talking fast, it's because I'm from New York, okay? We talk fast. And my parents talk fast. By the way.
We're listening fast, man.
We're listening fast. You know, my parents are from Hong Kong, and you've been to Hong Kong. You know, my parents went to New York and thought New York was slow, right? So that tells me how fast our family spoke. So my dad especially. So, you know, when I started MLM Nation, one thing I realized is like, and I said one of the beliefs I love about network marketing is it allows us to give more. And everyone I've studied, you know, including you, Rich, like every successful person is a giver, right? And it's funny the way the world works. The more you give, the more success you have. But if you think about giving so I can get more success, then it kind of never works out that way, right? But you have to give freely. And network marketing, I mean, MLM Nation, I'm giving, right? Every episode costs us a lot of money and a lot of time to produce in terms of getting the guests. It's like $2,000, $3,000 just to produce one episode to go out there. But it makes me feel good. You know, we haven't made that much money out of it, but it makes me feel good. And at the end of the day, it makes me happy. And you talk about success, success is about happiness. You can have all the money in the world and not be happy. For me, I make an impact on the community. That's my legacy. I want people to know that I contribute. You know, network marketers help me out, allow me to not have a job. It's my turn to give back. And even if I don't make any money out of it, that's my legacy. I was just telling someone the other day, I don't like to talk about death, but if I die, I'm happy because I'd be able to make an impact with people. So that's really my purpose. It's like why MLM Nation is the training I wish I had. And it's like allowing you to pick the brains of top leaders you've probably never been exposed to. And we are all in the same profession, right? That's why I really love this hero call. It's like generic training. We're from all the same profession. We're not competitors. You know, our competitors are like the FTC. Our competitors are like laziness, are like the lies that corporate America tells you, you know, the lies that the educational system tells you, the media. That's our competition. But in network marketers, doesn't matter what company, we're all in the same family. And as we grow, just think about it. If your other companies, your other competitor, quote-unquote competitor MLM company grows, everyone made more money, we'll never get this, oh, this is Amway, this is MLM objection anymore, right? So that's my purpose, just to have a positive impact. And I felt like this is the way God has blessed me, giving me this opportunity. So that's why I do what I do.
That's beautiful, Simon, and a beautiful way to wrap it up, because I was going to ask you some of that. You covered it. Stunning stuff. I love your philosophy. I love your generosity of spirit and your faith. And You're a beautiful leader and a great change agent for our profession. If you had just one thing to tell these people in a wrap-up 2 minutes, anything else you'd like to add, anything you'd like to tell them as they go out and get inspired to believe they can do what you've done?
The most important thing is about your purpose, right? I got into network marketing because it was like my purpose-driven life. I felt like it was God's destiny for me. So what is your purpose and your why? And it can't be just simply like, I want to make more money, pay all my bills, debts, you know, even greater than your, oh, I want to spend more time with my kids. It's got to be greater than that because, like, you know, even my coaching training to ML Nation, there's times it's tough, right? Like, I have 4 or 5 interviews a week. Like, it's tiring, but I know I can't quit. Why? Because the whole network marketing community is watching me, right? Holding me accountable. So if you, you know, if you want to quit, that's good. That's okay. By the way, that means you're working hard, right? If you, someone said that, oh, I never wanted to quit. If you never wanted to quit, then you haven't worked hard enough. You basically got to work so hard, it's not working, you wanted to quit. Then you're close to success. But when you want to quit, just think about your purpose, your legacy you're going to create. And even like stuff, you know, ML Nation, it takes a lot of work. I think about it like, oh, I've got all these, you know, interviews. And I think about my what's my legacy? You know, if I quit or stop something, like, what am I going to say to my son? Do I want my sons to know that your daddy quit because those times are tough? Your daddy quit because it wasn't convenient? Your daddy quit because you didn't have time? No, I mean, I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to create, I'm going to go make it happen. And my purpose here is to ML community. I don't want Simon Chan to be, no, oh, he was good, but then he stopped doing it. I want you to, hey, Simon kept on doing it and kept on being consistent. And so that's what motivates me every day to keep going. And so have your purpose. Your purpose has got to be bigger. And people join your purpose, right? People don't join just because you're a company or your products. They join you. What do you stand for, right? Because there's so many products in advertising, TV. What are you about? What's your purpose? You're the leader. And the last thing, like the vision. You got to see yourself becoming successful. And so even when I was as tied to your vision, even when I was making only $100, $200 a week, when I would jog, I was listening to Jim Rohn, I would visualize. I saw myself as a diamond director, right? I had my, even when I was earning $200 a week, I had my diamond director, which is like $6,000 a week. I had my acceptance award speech prepared already. I knew which leaders to thank and which legs. I visualized it. Right now, of course, it didn't all turn out that way, but you got to see yourself becoming successful because we always end up what we visualize. So if you do that and have your purpose greater than yourself, you will get to the top. And remember, last words is, we're in the profession to help others. So make sure you go out there and have a positive impact on someone's life today. Thank you all.
Simon, what a great story. What a great interview. Thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Simon Chan of MLM Nation and superstar fastest growing USANA distributor in North America before he retired to serve all of us with MLM Nation. Great stuff, Simon. So, you know, what I love about these kind of interviews that we're both doing, Simon, is it's not just people that are listening tonight on this podcast. People are going to be listening to this 6 months from now, 6 years from now, maybe 16 years from now. And people all over the world are going to be listening to these because they can and they serve. And so the impact you're going to have on people's belief system to give them that one epiphany, that one thing you said that made all the difference for them. I'm hanging out with three guys here for 3 or 4 days. We're driving from Carmel to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and one of the things we talked about was, you know, everybody that makes it big seems to have an epiphany, a moment where somebody said something or we had a thought, we saw it in a certain way, and it changed everything for us. And, you know, maybe yours was the training piece on the tape that talked about you just can't work at this casually. You got to work it like a job, like you mean it. And I just really believe people are going to be listening to what you said tonight maybe 10 years from now, and you're going to give somebody that epiphany that makes all the difference for them. So thank you for your contribution. I know you got date night tonight. We're letting you go eight minutes early so you can get prepped up and look pretty, and look forward to seeing you soon, Simon. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you again, Rich, for having me on the Hero Call. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Richard Bliss Brooks' Network Marketing Heroes Podcast. For more invaluable training tools, such as audios, videos, and of course his best-selling books, The 4-Year Career and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, head to blissbusiness.com. For 10% off your order, use discount code HERO at checkout. If you're serious about building your business, make sure to subscribe to Richard's blog for all the latest tools and articles.